verse number 9 tonight. Man, as we go through the book of Joshua, you're going to see some things that's going to, I don't know if we'll go through the book of Joshua, but we're in the book of Joshua, so we might go through the book of Joshua. We're just going to do whatever the Lord will have us to do, but if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn there and stand as we reverence His Word tonight. We have heard. You know, we hear a lot of things. We hear good things, we hear bad things, we hear a lot of comments, but she said, we've heard. Look at this tonight in Joshua chapter number 2 and verse number 9. And the Bible says, and she said unto them, unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, for we have heard. Man, you don't think people are listening. You just keep telling them about Jesus. You just keep telling them about Jesus. You keep telling them about God and what He can do. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of the Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we have heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye shall save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, see if this ain't Jesus Himself. And the men answered her, our life for yours. You want to be saved? He gave His life for yours. If you utterly do not, this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Father, I love you and I praise you. I thank you for one more time to stand behind this desk tonight and proclaim your word. Lord, I love you, and I just thank you for what you're going to do tonight. I thank you tonight for the songs that were sung. I thank you for the ones that come back tonight. I ask you to bless the ones that couldn't come back tonight, Father. Lord, for whatever reason that may be, but Lord, I do thank you tonight for the ones that did come back. Lord, I pray that as we break bread tonight that you would feed somebody's hungry soul. Lord, I pray you'd feed my hungry soul, Father. Lord, I just thank you for what you do in this place. Lord, I pray for each and every one that's lost loved ones this week, the ones that's got funerals to go to this week, the one that's got tests to go to this week, the ones that's going to have surgery. Lord God, they're all over the room tonight. Lord, I pray you'd bless them. Lord, I pray you'd touch them. I pray you'd help them, and I pray you'd heal them. Father, I love you and I praise you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come, we're going to talk about, we have heard. Rahab knew that God was on Joshua's side. Or should I say, Joshua was on God's side. And she believed that God would save her by faith. You say, preacher, how do you believe that tonight? Because if you go over into the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter number 11, she is found in the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter number 11 is called the faith chapter. And Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith the harlot Rahab perish not with them that believe not, when she received the spies with peace. They were two spies that were sent there to spy out the land. And when they came to where Rahab was, she believed that God was on their side, or they were on God's side. And she said, I want you to know, I want you to do something for me. I want you to take care of me and my family. But tonight I want to know, what made her believe? What made Rahab believe? What made you believe to be a believer in God Almighty? What made you believe that there is a God in heaven? Or what made you believe that you're here tonight? Why are you here tonight? Why do you believe tonight? And what made her believe? Nothing different than what made me believe, and nothing different than what made you believe on true salvation, that we serve a true God, that we got a true heavenly Father. And there's only three things that I see in this text that she truly made her believe. Number one, the terror of the Lord made her believe. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord had given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us. The terror of the Lord. Godly fear, folks. That's what's missing in the world we live in, is a lot of godly fear. I'm talking about men and women that truly fear God, that truly believe that God is on the throne and He is in control of their life. Rahab knew that terror fell on her. She had heard of what God had done. I don't know about you, but the day that I got saved, I heard the preacher telling me about a God in heaven, and I knew He was over everything, that he was the creator. He was the one that ruled everything. And that godly fear fell on me. And folks, you say tonight, you say, do you fear God, preacher? I guarantee you I fear God tonight. Can I get an amen? Now, I don't think he's sitting on the throne tonight and he's not looking to whoop me. He's not looking to scold me. But tonight he is my heavenly Father. Amen. And he knows what's best for me. And I fear him tonight with godly fear. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter number 9 and verse number 10. I believe that's missing in a lot of preaching today, is preaching on godly fear, preaching on what that if that, that we ought to line up with the book, we ought to line up with God tonight, because the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter number 9 and verse number 10, you talking about having godly fear tonight. I believe a lot of us would live a better life if we feared God. I believe a lot of Christians would live a closer walk with Jesus if they feared God. Proverbs chapter number 9 and verse number 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. When you start fearing God, it's wisdom tonight to know that there is a God in heaven and he's got control over your life. Look with me, if you will, if you're taking notes, to Proverbs chapter number 14. In verse number 27, not only godly fear is that beginning of wisdom, but a godly fear is a fountain of life tonight. When you fear God, there's a fountain that'll flow out of you. There's things in your life that'll change. Look at this tonight in Proverbs 14, in verse number 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. You say, preacher, what does that mean? When you fear God and you know that there's a God in heaven and you know that he can rain down terror on your life, he can get your attention, and he don't have to get your attention in a good way. He can get your attention in a bad way. I want you to know tonight, you'll fear God. Folks, I want you to know tonight, we got a God on the throne tonight, and he is in that business tonight to get his children's attention, to get people's attention tonight. And Rahab knew that. The fear of God was on her. Proverbs 9:10, Proverbs 14:27, but also in Luke chapter number 12. Verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, and I say unto you, my friends. Friends tonight, you're my friends. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And what kind of preacher would I be tonight if I told you that if you just live any way you want to, that the terror of the Lord, you're not going to get away from it. We must line up with the Bible tonight. And you say, preacher, why is that? Luke chapter number 12, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. He said, don't be afraid of them that kill the body, and after they have no more that they can do. You know, in this life, only thing somebody can do to you is kill that body. They can't do a whole lot more. They can kill that body. They can take you out of this life. But listen to me. We got a God in heaven that's more than that. He says this, and I want you to know, but I will forewarn you. You say, preacher, what do you mean forewarn? Well, you better be alert of what God can do. Man, I'm telling you tonight, God is in control of everything in your life. And Rahab knew that, and she knew the terror of the Lord. That fear was on her. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Woo! He has power, folks. I'm telling you tonight, God has power. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him. Who do we fear tonight? We're not supposed to fear man. We're supposed to fear God Almighty. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, there's a gospel going around, and it is not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When a person gets saved, they should change. They ought to be a change in their life. They ought to be a difference in their life. And Rahab knew she was a harlot. She knew she was the harlot. She was a streetwalker. She was a prostitute. But when she met God, and she wanted God to move, I want you to know he changed her life. And tonight I want you to know, until the terror of the Lord falls on you and you realize you're a sinner in need of a God, you will not change. I believe as churches we've diluted the gospel so much, and we tell people all you've got to do is walk down here, get on your knees before God, ask Jesus to come into your life, get up and walk back out, live any way you want to, and there's going to come a day you're going to die and go to heaven and everything's going to be good. That's a lie. That's a lie. Here's what he said. He said, come unto me. All. He said, come and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. I told him in Sunday school this morning, if following Jesus has not cost you something, you're not following him. If it ain't costed you something in your life, you're not following. He said, preacher, I can't tell a bit of difference from the time I got saved and the time I was lost. Well, then you ain't following. Because it's going to cost you something in your life. It's a cost when you follow Jesus Christ. It'll cost you something. Rahab no longer was a harlot. Hello? Hey, no longer, hey, business shut down, son. She shut down. She no longer was a harlot. She quit what she was doing. Why? Because the terror of the Lord was on her. Friends, tonight, I want you to know I'm no longer a meth user because the fear of the Lord is on me. You say, what? Yes. The There's no, I pray to God I'd never stick a needle in my arm again. Why, preacher? Because the fear of the Lord, I know what he would do. He would strike me dead if I went back down that road. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I believe that with my whole heart. That's why I stay away from it, Gary. That's why I stay away from it. That's why I don't play with it. That's why I don't flirt with it. I stay away from it. Now, if I fall over dead tonight, you're going to say, well, he was going to go back anyway. God just took him out. Oh, no, don't believe that. But you listen to me. If I get out there and I get running back the way I was running, doing what I was doing, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And listen to me tonight. You said, preacher, come on now. Listen to me tonight. I'm telling you, the terror of the Lord will keep him doing things that you used to do. When he comes inside to live inside of you, you'll quit doing the things you used to do. The terror of the Lord was on Rahab. The terror. Let me give you something else that she heard. She heard his terror and what he can do, how he can destroy, and how he can destroy folks. But she also heard the testimony of the Lord. See, there's one thing about the terror of the Lord and what he can do, but she also heard his testimony. She heard his testimony. Folks, I want you to know he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You know that in the Bible. Read your Bible. You know it. You know he did. And you say, we're getting away with it. America will not get away with it. Listen to me. If we keep going down the road we're going down, America will not get away from it. I'm telling you that tonight. Your home won't get away from it. Daddies, you play and see it, and it won't be long. You'll be sitting down with it, and you won't get away from it tonight. I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart tonight. And you look at the crowd that we have tonight, and I'm not harping on that because the morning crowd ain't back, but you see the sincerity and the urgency in the crowd that's back tonight. We have a hunger tonight. We want to see God move. We want to see God, and we know the terror of the Lord, but we also know the testimony of the Lord. Rahab knew the testimony. And here's what she said. She said, for we have heard. For we have heard. I wonder who tonight has heard your testimony. They've heard. Now, they're going to hear it two different ways. I still got old boys that I used to run with say, oh, just, he's coming back. He just been out. He'll be back. He's coming back. Don't wait on me. I ain't coming back. Amen. Don't wait on me. I'm not coming back. I have found something a whole lot better, and his name is Jesus. I'm not coming back. There's nothing back there for me. I've heard the terror of the Lord, and I know the testimony of the Lord. Folks, tonight, you've got a testimony that somebody needs to hear. You've got a testimony tonight. You say, well, my testimony ain't that good. If you're saved, it's the best testimony you got. He said, well, my testimony ain't as good as Brother Tony Williams, or it ain't as good as Brother Brent's. Who cares what theirs is? You've got your own, and it's unique how he saved you out, how he brought you out, how he saved you, the terror of the Lord, but also the testimony of the Lord. Look what he said here in verse number 10. I want to show you this tonight. In verse number 10, man, I love this. Here's what she said. For we have heard. What did she hear? She heard the testimony of the Lord. She said, we've heard his terror, how he's destroyed kings. And now, wow, we've heard his testimony, how he dried up the Red Sea. Now, I want to know what Mr. Scholar is going to do with that word in the King James Bible. When they say that it wasn't completely dried up, it was about 6 inches of water. Dried up over in Detroit. You hear me? If it's dried, hey, if there's a little bit of water running down through there, we don't tell you it's dried up. We say there's a little stream running down it. But when the Bible says it dried up, Brother Eric, you can kick dust. It's dry. Look what he says here in verse number 10. For we have heard. Man, I'm telling you what, you can kick dust up in my life because it's dry from the things I used to be. Ain't the same person. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. I wonder what all he's dried up in your life. Somebody get excited tonight. I wonder what he's dried up in your life. I'm talking about, son, you didn't think there's no way out. All of a sudden, God steps in and just dries it all up. Used to be a drunkard, had to have a drink every time he turned around, and God just dried it right up. Look what he says tonight. They heard these things, how he dried up the Red Sea, how he destroyed the two kings of the Amorites. And he said, when you tell that testimony of the Lord and we heard it, you know what it did to us? It melted our hearts. The terror of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord will melt people's hearts. I'm telling you, have you ever told your testimony to somebody? Are you sharing Jesus Christ? And son, I'm talking about they didn't want to hear it, and all of a sudden you seen that light bulb come on, and you just kept hammering on in, and all of a sudden tears start flowing down their face. That's no time to let up. That's time to mash on. That's time to mash on. Let God have his way in that. I want you to know the terror of the Lord, but the testimony of the Lord. Look what he said here in verse number 11. And as soon as we heard these things, what did they hear? They heard that he done dried it up. He done led them across the Red Sea. He done led them to the other side. Folks in here, I see some folks been led to the other side. Amen. I've heard, I go around this room and there's testimonies just everywhere we go. Brother David Whitaker was going to try to send me his testimony, and it was so long that it wasn't sin. He had to come where Wi-Fi was and give it to my phone. Is that not the truth? Why? Because you had something to tell. You don't just tell it in a second. Man, I'm telling you, a testimony. I'm telling you, when he changes, he changes. But let me show you this. He said, I melted our hearts. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Because of who? Because of the Lord. Lost all of our courage because we knew God was for you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above, and he's God in earth beneath. Folks, tonight, can I say to you, you understand the terror of the Lord tonight. You understand the testimony of the Lord. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You tell that word everywhere you go. It'll change folks' lives. I wrote this down for you, and I want you to share it with you. Somebody needs to hear what God has done for you. What a testimony you got. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody needs to hear that word and what God's done for you. Somebody needs to hear that. You say, preacher, ain't nobody want to hear my testimony. You'd be surprised who want to hear what God's done in your life. I'd like to hear what God's done in your life. But I'm going to share you the last point, and we'll finish out with this. We have heard the terror of the Lord. We have heard the testimony of the Lord. And they said, and by the way, we've also heard that the Lord can give us a token. He can give us a token. Who in here don't like a token? I do. I like a token. I like a token of appreciation, don't you? I like a token. You say, well, I don't really like a token. What do you like on Friday? That's a token. That's a token of your appreciation. They quit paying, you quit going. People come up to McDonald's Auto and say, I tell you what, work on my car for free from now on. We ain't paying you a penny. How many cars you going to work on? Let me rephrase that for you. You'll work on none. Ain't no problem. If everybody quit paying, you're done. Amen. Brother Brent, how many? You're done. But they said, we're going to give you a token of your appreciation. And said, we know the Lord can do this. I want to ask you tonight, do you got a token that you can look back on and say, hey, God done this. God done this, Brother Kevin. God done this. Brother, God done this. This is a token I got. And here's what Rahab says. She said, I want a token. What is that? That's something tangible. Something that you can know that God's done. Something you know God's going to do. Something you know God's going to move on your life. You want a token. Not only do you have the terror of the Lord and the testimony, but you got a token in your life what God's done for you. How he's changed you. How he's made you new. How he set things free in your life. And she said, we want a token. He said, okay, what do you want? What do you want? She said, when y'all come in to take Jericho and y'all going to come in, y'all going to wipe us out. Here's what I want. She said, I want my father, I want my mother, I want my kids, I want everything. I want every bit of it to be safe. When you come in and I know the death angel's coming with you and he's fixing clean house, I want everybody took care of in my family. What do we beg for in this place every single time we come? Everybody in our family. There's not a daddy or a mama worth their salt in this place that don't want every one of their kids, grandkids, aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews. You want them all to be saved. She said, well, I want all of our lives to be saved. She said, and I want a reliable token. I want a reliable token. I don't want no fake, make-believe token. I want something reliable. I said, okay. She said, I want something real. I want to ask you, is your salvation real in here tonight? Man, I talk with him. I know y'all do too. He talks with me. He gives me clarification on things, and he gives me leave things alone. She said, I want something real. She said, I want something reliable. And I want something that'll be rewarding. Your salvation tonight, if you're saved now, I don't know nobody's heart in here. If you're saved, not that you just walked down to an aisle and got down on your knees, said a little ditty, and got back up and walked back out and live any way you want to live. That's not salvation. I can show you in the Bible that's not salvation. You got to count the cost. You got to be willing to repent and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. And repentance is to turn. You turn. You're not doing the same. You turned. You're going a different way. Repentance. And she said, I want something rewarded. And they said, the only thing we can give you is this. Our life for yours. That's Jesus. What did Jesus give you and I? What kind of token did he give us? His life for yours. You want any more proof tonight of what we've heard? Jesus gave his life for yours. She said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let down a scarlet thread. They said, let down a scarlet thread. What's scarlet thread? What is that? That's a red thread. What's pumping through your veins tonight? The red royal blood of Jesus Christ. Pumping through your veins tonight, we have heard and heard and heard. There's been enough preaching going on in this place. I'm telling you what, that you've heard and you've heard and you've heard of that token. Said, I'm going to let it down. He said, you let it down. And when we come in, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that red. We're looking for that red thread. And that's the only thing going to keep us from tearing everything up where that red thread is. Folks, I'm telling you what, he's going to bust them eastern skies one day, and the only thing that's going to keep them tearing everything up is the ones that are born again washed in the blood of Jesus. Only the ones that's been washed. He's looking for that red thread. He's not looking for you to be a member of Union Chapel. That's not what will keep you out of hell. Being baptized won't keep you out of hell. Listen to me tonight. It will not do it. Being a good person, giving to the poor, doing everything you can do will not get you to heaven. There's a token that's going to be given, and it's given to you, and it's given to me that is saved, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he comes back, you know what he's looking for? He's looking for that red thread, because he's coming back. You say, preacher, how do you know that? John 3:16 is that reliable, real, and rewarding thread that you have in your life and that I have in my life. John 3:16. We teach that when kids are little, small. We just do it any way we want. Listen to me though. We're teaching the most important thing we can teach them. For God so loved the world. He loved the world. We're not disputing that a bit. God has loved the world. He has loved the world. Why did he love the world? He sent Jesus to die for you and to die for me. Man, what a token that is tonight. I don't know about you, but I don't want to take it for granted. During VBS this past year, we took up change for kids. We had a bunch of buckets full of change. And right now, you can go look in my office where they counted it. And there's a pile there. They look like quarters. Just Brittany, I think you was counting. They look like quarters. They're the same size. Ain't nothing different. They even got the little grooves on the outside. But they're not real. They got in somebody's pocket and went into their change jar. And from their change jar, they come to... Come on, talk to me, somebody. They came from the change jar at home to the jar at church, really thinking it was real, really thinking it was something tangible that they could give and it would do them some good. It went into the pot, and as the ladies counted it back there, and they started counting them quarters, dimes, nickels, pennies, they started counting them out, and they got looking at them, they got counting them, and they got looking. They said, oh, no, these ain't real. These tokens ain't real. These are something tangible you can see, but they're not real. What'd they do, preacher? Let them slide on through? No, they called. Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. They called them. They called them out. These can't go through. The bank won't accept it. Won't be no good. It'll come back on us. It won't work. Tonight, I'm afraid. I'm not talking about you unless it hits you. I'm afraid tonight that churches are full of people that's got false, fake tokens, and they're betting on it to get to heaven. They're betting on it to get to heaven because they've walked an aisle. They've knelt down. Preacher led them in some little old ditty, and then they went back home. And when they left the church, they knew there was not one thing different in their life. Folks, I'm telling you, I thank God that night when I got up, I knew something was different. I thank God that night that I got up, I didn't have to ask my wife. I didn't have to ask the preacher. I didn't have to ask a deacon. When I got up, I knew I had received something. I knew that I had received the free gift of salvation. I had heard, and I received. Brother Bree J., what did you receive? I received the terror of the Lord in my life. When I got up from there, I'm telling you, I handle him different than I ever have. I've not, Miss Patsy, I've not took his name in vain since I've been born again. And I used to use it every day before I got saved. I used to take the Lord's name in vain. Listen, if you're saved and you do that, you're not saved. If you can take the Lord's name in vain, it don't bother you a bit. You ain't saved a bit. And I don't know, talking to the choir tonight, but man, this is on my heart. Rahab knew there'd been a change. The terror of the Lord, the testimony. You can see the difference. You can see the change. I go around this room tonight, I see the difference. I see the change. I see, Brother Jerry Gabby, you're a good example tonight. I see the change. I remember Brother Jerry's testimony when Miss Tracy got in the water that night. And Shay Taylor said, you better not baptize her right now. We was talking about the Lord and what he could do. He said, man, I don't know. Lord, I mean, we got back and forth. Said, well, what do you think? So let me call him. But Jerry said, all the way to church, he thought them hypocrites. Got in there, then I had him stand up there by his wife. He said, I could kill you, preacher. There was something beating on him. It's that Holy Ghost of heaven. Brother, I see the difference in your life. There's a testimony in your life. Sister Tracy, would you agree? He ain't the same man. Totally different. Totally different. Totally different. And you got something tangible in your life. You got a token. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave you with this tonight. You've heard. You've heard. Don't take him lightly. Don't take him. Man, I'm telling you, I do a lot of funerals. I do a lot of funerals. Listen to me, y'all, right here. Everybody listen. Look real good. I do a lot of funerals. And one statement that I always say, not everybody that dies go to heaven. People out there, man, they about to go crazy. They want to stone the preacher for saying that. And then you tell them, listen to me. You be ready. When he calls your name, you be ready. You be ready. You be ready. That's on my heart tonight. If you're saved, you ought to have a little bit of fear of God, a lot of fear of God in you. Man, it ought to be on you. You'll say, oh, man, I can't do that. Why? You think you're going to let your family down? Oh, no, I let the Lord down. I can't do that. And Rahab said, give us a token. I wonder tonight who I'm talking to. You know who you are. You're sitting here, you say, preacher, I need to be telling folks about Jesus. Man, he's been too good to me. He's done too much for me. Let me show you this when we close here, right here. Man, it just gets all over me when I get thinking about that token that's been given. It's been real. It's reliable and it's rewarding. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is your scarlet thread tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at tonight with the Lord. We're going to circle up here in just a moment. But I want to be a church that fears God. I do, man. That's my heart tonight to tell y'all. I want to be a church that fears God. I want when lost folks walk in them doors back there, they just don't pop their chewing gum and have a good time and leave out and say, man, that felt good. I want the terror of the Lord in this place. I do. I want the testimony in the Lord in this place. Man, I'm talking about the testimony, man, that God's doing things. And I want people when they leave, they know that they've heard about that true token, how the blood of Jesus can save them. If it can save Rahab, by faith, Rahab, by faith, she believed. How will you receive it tonight? By faith. I pray tonight that your life is right where it needs to be with God Almighty. I pray that. Man, that's my prayer for everybody in this place. Sunday morning crowd, Sunday night crowd, Wednesday crowd. That's my prayer. And I tell you my heart tonight. And I see a lot of folks, witness to a lot of folks that say they're saved, and I can't tell a difference if they're saved or if they're lost. I can't tell, and I ain't judging nobody. And please don't never tell nobody when you go somewhere, if you come to Union Chapel, you won't be judged, because the Bible says judgment must start at the house of the Lord. They walk in this place, judgment ought to fall. If they're living in sin, judgment ought to fall. In my heart tonight, I'm telling you, is for people that believe they're saved, and they'll tell you they're saved, but they're living like the devil. Folks, you won't find it in the Bible. I can give you a list of people that won't enter in. I can give you a list of people that won't enter in. And that's just my heart tonight. You've heard and I've heard. And we know how to live this life according to Christ Jesus. So as your pastor, I beg you tonight, let's live it accordingly. That people can see a difference in our lives. And they may want what we got. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I love you and I praise you and I glorify you.